Hey, Tumbling Saber listeners, if you're anything like me, you love good music, and you especially love the music of Star Wars as composed by the one and only John Williams. Hell, I've got the soundtracks playing on a loop almost all the time, whether it's in my car, on my home theater system, or pretty much just in my head. But most people haven't had the chance to catch this amazing music live, and that's where the OVMF comes in to change all that. The OVMF is short for L'Orchestre Avant de Musique de Film, and is a non-profit, 50-piece orchestra composed of extremely talented amateur musicians, music students, and professionals who deliver amazing concerts featuring the iconic, unforgettable music of your favorite soundtracks from film, TV, and video games. Star Wars, Iron Man, other Marvel movies, Harry Potter, Doctor Who, Legend of Zelda, just to name a few. Their upcoming concert series features the music of The Force Awakens, and we have a pair of tickets to give away to the sold-out show June 19th here in Montreal. To enter for your chance to win, and hear iconic new additions to the Star Wars musical lexicon like Rey's theme, Jedi steps, and a whole lot more, head over to the Tumbling Saber page on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Then send a screenshot of the review, or just copy-paste the text and send it to me, kyle@tumblingsaber.com. That's it. We'll then announce the winner on the Monday, May 30th episode of the Tumbling Saber podcast. Now here's the fine print. This contest is open to anyone, but it would really help if you lived in or around Montreal, or at least be willing to make the trip here if we call your name on May 30th. So be sure to check the OVMF on the web at ovmf.qc.ca, on YouTube, and on Facebook. They truly do put on great shows, and we're thrilled that they've stepped up to give a lucky listener a chance to catch the great music that revived the Star Wars legacy live in person. And now, let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back into episode 20 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. You know, each week we close an episode, I quickly think ahead to the following week and I wonder what we're going to talk about. And I picture us talking to ourselves about pocket lint and the virtues of the penny. And I start to panic because I don't think there's going to be anything to talk about. But then as the week rolls along, inevitably things pop up and news gets dropped, rumors leak, and then boom, we've got a show. And it's no different this week, and it was a really busy week. We've got a hugely packed show, so much to talk about. And we're all kind of running on fumes here late on Sunday night, so without further ado, let's introduce the crew. Corey, how's it going, man?
Not too bad, yourself?
Sunburnt, but I think that's where we're all sitting right now. James, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific, and I just want to say I've seeped into your head. You just said you wanted to introduce the crew, and you're biting my lyrics.
Yeah, you may have earwormed me.
I did, for sure.
Science, baby. Science. All right, so should we get the elephant in the room out of the way first?
Because, yes.
Yeah?
All yeah. Right. Let's do it.
Do we all know what the elephant in the room is, by the way?
I don't know. I'm waiting to talk about something.
You're waiting to talk about the elephant in the room, I think. I think this week we all managed to get out to the theater and see a certain superhero flick.
Yes.
Batman v Superman. And I think we all have opinions that need to get out. So who wants to take the first kick at the can here?
I think I should do it.
Yeah, I'll give it to Corey.
You know, the reason behind that is because I've spoken to both of you and about it, and basically, I think, you know, I'm the neutral tone, so let's just start there. Basically, I found the tone of the film was kind of a little all over the place. The movie itself is a bit discombobulated, if you will, jumbled. At the beginning, it didn't really have a great flow. But I did like the movie in the long run. I like the tone that DC has going with how it's kind of based in more of a reality. The film had some nice touches, but there were a lot of things that also kind of made me upset. So I had high hopes for this film, and it didn't meet them. Although I did enjoy it. I found it entertaining. But
give it a star rating.
3 on 5.
3 on 5.
James, I want to make one more quick point. Is this
the floor is yours.
Basically, like, the thing with, they're trying to do a little too much, and this is where I see Zack Snyder kind of took a wrong turn, is the guy had probably had so much on his plate in the sense that, I don't want to make too many spoilers here, but they're taking two major storylines from the DC Universe, being Doomsday and the Dark Knight series, which are two such prominent and iconic story arcs, and you're trying to make one story about them and trying to also create the dawn of justice at the same time. Like, that's where I kind of feel like he lost himself. You know, they're trying to play catch up with Marvel, and they tried to do too much in one episode. But I'm gonna go.
I think we're each gonna have our say about that, and you're not wrong. James, what did you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with that last point. I will not take a neutral tone. I completely and utterly hated that movie.
Did you just break something?
I think he just kicked his dog.
I just threw a Kleenex box across the room at the cat that was scratching the wall.
I kicked the fucking dog, Eddie.
The cat hated the movie, too. I hated it for so many reasons. I was angry as I watched it. And I was trying to think of things for the show I could talk about that I liked. And, like, without mentioning how pretty Wonder Woman was, I couldn't think of anything that I really liked. I agree that it was rushed. And I can't believe that they wasted opportunity to make more movies to introduce these characters and start their Justice League series. I can't believe that they wanted to pile so much story into one movie that they completely ruined it. I don't know why. I guess the only conclusion that I could come to about why that movie felt and what completely ruined it for me wasn't acting, although I didn't think, Kyle and I disagree with, the Batman character, which is, I thought was a terrible portrayal. But beyond the acting, I thought what ruined the movie was that the story was so jam-packed with
there was so much to digest.
Homage and you know, combining, yeah, you know, a bunch of different storylines and trying to make it work and trying to make it believable.
That one light bulb moment that went off for me where they kind of took me off guard was when you, spoiler alert for anyone, block your ears, earmuffs, but just when Lex, you kind of figure out that Lex is the one that kind of orchestrated the whole thing. I was like, I didn't see that coming. That was kind of cool to me.
Yeah. I didn't hate Lex, although that's one thing. That's another thing I think Kyle and I disagree about. I didn't hate Lex. I thought it was a different take, sort of zanier than I was expecting. But overall, I just thought the movie itself. The only people that I've spoken to who seem to really like it, and I don't know if this is true of Kyle or not, seem to be Batman fanboys. And my conclusion is that Batman fanboys do not care about the story in a tale that involves Batman competing on equal grounds, equal footing with Superman. Any story that contains that aspect, that they're okay with it and they'll eat it up. But beyond that, I haven't spoken to too many people who like that piece of crap.
Well, it's a surprise like that. Like, that's what I love about the real Frank Miller's Dark Knight is that, you know, Superman, Batman's got Superman in his clutches, and he's telling him, like, I could kill you. I got you where I want you. You're dead in my hands right now. I can kill you. Like, that's the best. I love that part, you know? Where he's like, you're mine, you know? Like, I beat you. I'm a human.
Well, overall, I enjoyed the movie, and I don't want to sound like I'm apologizing for the movie, because at the end of the day, James, I'll come back to you in a second for your star rating, but for me, I gave it a 3.5 star, or 7.5 on 10, if you will. I agree with, in principle, that there was a lot of story packed into its overly long, whatever it was, two hours, 20 minutes, almost 2.5 hours. There were some things I thought they could have cut out for sure. And there were some elements that I thought, why is this here? And then, or the buildup of why certain things are there, you get the payoff for it, but you're like, oh, all that, really? Like, for example...
Well, I thought that a couple times, too, yes.
Lois's entire role in the movie, investigating that strange bullet, when you reverse engineer her role for the movie, the only reason why she needs to be there is because when they do the moment of the death of Superman, Lois Lane needs to be there. Somebody who cares about Superman had to be there for that moment. They did a pretty good job of recreating that from the comics, minus the population that was around. And they changed the setting, of course, but Lois had to be there for that. But she couldn't only be there for that moment in the movie. They had to give her something to do. And it was this ill-fitting investigation into a bullet stemming from the first scene of the movie. I thought that could have been cut. Contrary to James, I loved Affleck as Superman. I think he's probably going to end up being my favorite Batman when all is said and done. And as far as Henry Cavill goes, I've liked him since Man of Steel. So I have no complaints there. I thought Wonder Woman was a high point of the movie. And as far as Lex Luthor goes, I didn't like him here, but I will excuse it because I think I get where they're going with him, where we saw him get his head buzzed at the end. And the Lex that we all know, the ruthless, cunning, conniving guy, I think he's coming. And so this movie here, we get the zany Kermit meets Kramer mashup, as I like to call him.
Huh. You want to hear me really go out on a limb here? I'm going to throw this out there right now. Like, seeing as how before we were talking about amalgamations of storylines, I'm going to say it right now just because he was able to so directly speak with the Kryptonian database or whatever it was and saying that it had the knowledge of this many worlds. I'm going to say that Lex, in maybe the third movie or so, will become Brainiac.
Just, I could see them doing that.
Yeah, just to get that story arc squeezed in there, you know, you're killing two birds with one stone, just like they do in the movies. You know, they take so many shortcuts.
Well, I thought again, because Warner had the thing where they wanted to get this thing going once and for all, so they had the screenwriters and Zack Snyder basically mandated to tease the Justice League and push this story and push that story and just get the boulder rolling. And ultimately, it's okay for me, but I understand people that thought, oh, this is too much. I can't stand this.
Yeah, there were certain scenes where he's floating up there with the bats was too much for me. And also, just the introduction of the characters, I found that was very, like, it took me right out of the movie, you know? It was just like, it was almost like a movie within a movie when you're seeing all the other members of the Justice League on that footage. I was just like, I was taken right out for a second. I was like, oh, man, like, seriously? Like, just didn't...
Yeah, didn't need that at all.
Yeah, I would like to have seen them, but in another way.
Like, they could have just... Once... You see that screenshot on the computer with the little icons, the WW, the C for Cyborg, the A, the lightning bolt for Flash. They could have just showed that and left it.
True.
You would have gotten it. You would have said, there's a little nod at the Justice League. And that's it. You could have just moved on. Those little cut scenes for each of the characters didn't need it. I'm happy to see them, but I could have waited. We've waited this long for DC's universe to get going, so I could have waited longer.
Well, that's kind of what I like about the movie, Kyle, is exactly what you're saying. They didn't have a consistency with how they thought, with how intelligent they think their fans are. I think,
yes.
They overestimated how much story they could handle in a movie.
Yeah, and understand it.
But then
where it's coming
you in
from.
The face with information over and over again that you didn't need, or like they were just blatant with these drawn out over introductions and stuff. I don't know. I just found them really inconsistent with how much they assumed their fans knew.
And even you, Kyle. After the movie, we were talking about it, dissecting the movie a bit, like just talking a bit before going home and. You were kind of confused at one point. That's this one scene, again, it took me right out of the movie where Batman, he kind of has this flashback to what seems is going to be the Justice League movie, like, based on the comics, the New 52. And you were like, who was that that came to see him? And it's, to me, like, I knew because I saw it, I've seen it, the DC animated universe on TV, and
You're talking about when Flash visits him in his dream.
Yeah, he's using the Speed Force to do that. Like, there's this thing called the Speed Force that's not entirely understood by physics, but yeah. I totally knew it right away. I was like, okay, that's Flash. He's using the Speed Force. And you were like, what was that? Who was that? So even you were like, who was that?
Yeah, I didn't recognize, physically, I didn't recognize him as Flash. Although it strongly hinted at with the flashes of lightning and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, exactly.
So James, before we move on to Star Wars, you want to give your star rating? Or is it a bomb?
Stars are a positive thing. I don't feel like bestowing any stars on that movie. I was disappointed.
It's a bomb. You're just flat out poo-pooing the whole thing.
Yes, bomb.
Wow. Zing.
Before we move on, let me ask you, Kyle. Did you like those two people, Batman and Superman? Did you think they were superheroes? Because personally, my takeaway is those two guys were dicks.
I think we're seeing two guys at opposite ends. We're seeing Superman, who's struggling to come to terms with who he is, what he can do, and what his role should be. And I think as he resurrects now, obviously, as he's going to come back to life, we'll see him gravitate towards the idealistic, optimistic, noble guy that Superman is commonly known as. And as for Batman, he's sort of on the other side of that, where he's lost Robin. He's seen nothing but bad shit go on in Gotham for his entire career. But it's obvious at the end that Superman had inspired him again to believe in people, to believe in heroes. And I think we'll see them both sort of gravitate towards
the love. Yeah, I don't see Batman branding people anymore in the future.
No, I think there'll be more classic as far as the Batman movie that's been confirmed with Affleck directing, I don't know if that's set before or after, but I think either way we're going to see something closer to what we expect from the Batman character.
So they will be the heroes we know, but dicks in this movie.
I didn't think they were dicks. I just thought they were not.
No, I agree with Kyle on this one. I think they were both at a crux. They were set up. They were both set up to make themselves feel by Lex, basically, to make themselves like, you know, they were both being turned against, kind of, you know, like they both, Superman was hating Batman was hating Superman, both for the wrong reasons.
Nah, those aren't the heroes I knew. I never felt like those two I was watching on screen were the heroes I grew up.
Well, don't forget, this Superman, whatever he is, 32, 33, 34 years old, he's basically 2 years into his career as Superman. So I think it's understandable that he hasn't quite figured it all out yet, especially given the tone of the population. They half are with him, half are against him, and I felt his conflict. I understand, not that I'm a Superman by any stretch, but I get the struggle that he's having because it one way or another, I can envision him either folding up his tent and going away or embracing what people, or the people that want a hero. I felt that conflict for him.
I did too. Yeah.
But anyway, 15 minutes on Batman v Superman here, and thanks listeners for the patience. We had to get this off our chests, and if you have anything to say about the movie, if you want to yell at us for our take, feel free to do so.
Or if you want to send me a virtual high five, because I know what I'm talking about.
Ooh, shots fired. And actually, James is not on Twitter, so he ducks and hides that way. All right, moving on to Star Wars. A lot to go on here, guys. A lot of it revolving around, surprise, surprise, a young lady named Rey. And she herself came out at the end of last, I think it was last weekend at the MTV Music Awards.
What?
And basically called.
Oh.
She. No. She basically stated that she doesn't think that Rey is a Jedi. And of course, there's semantics involved here. But
she didn't say, I don't think. She says, I don't know.
And not only that, but she went on to say that she completely dumped on the Jyn as her mother rumors, which thrilled me to death.
Good.
I love it when theories like that everybody is just in a big circle jerk over just gets dynamited. I love it.
Well, yeah, but be careful. I mean, this could be J.J. Abrams' school of rumor squashing, too, eh?
Exactly. He's taught them well.
Maybe.
Come on, he's a prime example, and this has got to be on the next point on your sheet anyways. He comes out and says, flat out and says, her parents were not even in this movie, and the fans go, ah! Every year he's blown out of the water.
And that was Friday night, and Twitter went crazy.
Well, of course it did.
Crazy. And, of course, the common refrain was, well, Abrams has lied before. And there was people going, this is a completely different situation. But all of this, the whole thing was rendered moot literally an hour or two later when, after that, whatever show they're at, the Tribeca Movie Awards or something like that, Entertainment Weekly approached Abrams and asked him to elaborate a little bit on his statement. And he completely backtracked and undercut his statement. Basically what he said was that, no, just that Rey hadn't discovered them in episode 7. I'm not saying that she hasn't, they're not already in her world. So we are all back at square one. So we can all go back to speculating as we once were. And it seems possible once again, if not still probable, that Luke is her daddy.
Yeah. It adds that much fuel to the fire. I love it. Good on you, JJ.
God love Abrams for what he's done for us. But is it about time that he just stops talking about future Star Wars movies?
No, I love it.
But especially if he's going to do that and then completely basically what I just said is not true. So just never mind all that.
It's hard to speak on the spot though sometimes too. You know, like I've had issues with that in the past with other people, just my point not coming across as I mean it. You know what I mean? Like,
I have no idea what you mean.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to describe, I guess, but.
That, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
No, but this guy's, he's got a PhD in that, and I love it. He just wanted to throw a little gas on the fire.
I don't think he should say no comment every time, but I think he should enter the two words into his lexicon.
They should exist, right? There should be a time where he goes, you know what, this is Ryan's movie and I'm just not going to talk about it.
Just once in a while. I don't hate that he does this. I think actually it's, like Corey, it's entertaining and, you know, he stirs it up and he gives us something to talk about. But every once in a while he could say, like, this isn't my thing to talk about.
Well, I would have preferred if he had just stuck with his original statement saying his, and just, if he's lying, so be it, lie. Just be known as a liar from this point on. Just say, her parents aren't in episode 7, guys. They're not there. And just let that cat out of the bag. I wish he would just stick to his guns in that manner.
It's like the wordplay. It's like the wordplay we were talking about earlier in the last episode about Rogue One, where he said, roughly, he didn't say necessarily that there were no Jedi in Rogue One, but he said there were no lightsabers in Rogue One, or something along those lines.
Well, he didn't say that. That's sort of been, I can't remember who said that, but it wasn't
someone he taught in his ways. It was a magic box.
He may have been force mind controlling them.
Yeah, maybe.
The surprise box, whatever it is.
Is it the J.J. Abrams mystery box?
Yeah.
That wasn't all from Abrams, as he's more or less confirmed that anybody who was disappointed with the deleted scenes on The Force Awakens Blu-ray, which I think is pretty much everybody, 100% of people. I can't think of, or I've never seen one person go, those deleted scenes rocked my world, man. That made this disc worth it. Otherwise,
money well spent, yeah.
Yes. Oh, man, what a letdown that was. But he said there's more coming. And
of course
he did
coming.
Well, of course, we all knew there's more coming, but it sounds like they're coming sooner than later, and it sounds like there's going to be really no strings attached to them. As he said, they'll just more or less be released online.
As it should be, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a mea culpa on their part, saying we should probably give them something a little meatier than what we did, or if it's all part of some elaborate plan. Like maybe this is something we'll see on May the 4th. We've been wondering what May the 4th will bring. Maybe this is an opportunity for them to right a perceived wrong and give us something to talk about.
I think someone's been listening to the show and they just realize that they've been missing out on the ultimate marketing date.
Well, everybody listens to this show.
Not my wife. I just want to say that this is episode 20, and I've asked her to listen to 19 episodes, so I'm going to stop asking and just start making fun of her in the show.
Actually, my wife used to listen. Now she stopped, so I don't know what that says. Well, actually, no, she wants to come on the show more often, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, come on, and then I don't have her on. I think she's on strike or filing divorce papers or something.
Well, I mean, if neither of them are listening, then they're not the two sharpest knives in the drawer anyway, right?
I'll let Corey take that.
Hey, see, I know I'm safe. Mine's not going to listen for sure.
Yeah, mine won't either, unless I tell her that we talked about her, and then she'll listen very intently, and we'll take the download.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, so hopefully we get some new deleted scenes.
The main thing I read into that was it should be available very shortly, and it should be extremely free.
So free that they pay us to because of it, right?
Pretty much.
That kind of free.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Good. I'm glad that they're doing this. They should, and because we all have that cynical view, right? We're, they're gonna save the best deleted scenes for the box set 3 years from now, and that would have kind of sucked, right?
Big time.
I'm sure, they have enough deleted scenes to do that, but in the meantime, it's nice that they seem to have a plan to hook us up with something in the meantime.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Touching back, Kyle, for 1 second on that Rey's not a Jedi theory.
Go for it.
Got me thinking about, you know, Ahsoka and the Ahsoka-esque thing we've been talking about. And I really hope that they do play into that because of what she's already filming right now and having made that statement saying, I don't even know if I'm a Jedi. Not saying that I don't think I'm a Jedi, but whatever road Luke is, or whatever road Luke's riding her back on, trying to teach her. I hope this first temple really provides new enlightenment to the Jedi Order and really kind of, like we've always talked about, restructures how we think of Jedi.
Yeah, it really could. This could be a complete reset for how we think of Star Wars, the whole Jedi Order. Maybe what they were, or what we've become used to, especially in the prequels as we saw them in full force. We saw them in the prequels sort of at the height of their arrogance and hubris.
Not necessarily. They've been eradicated so many times over and over again, right? Like, back and forth, thousands of years.
But the ones we've seen on screen, let's not talk about the ones we've heard about from thousands of years ago. The only ones that are canon are the ones we saw in the prequels. Those guys were arrogant, and they were dumb by the end. Really dumb. And so hopefully Luke has discovered some insight that makes them, and rebuilds the Jedi in a new light that makes them less dumb.
Yeah. And that's going to take them down a darker path, which we think we all know.
Not necessarily, but hey, it's a second movie of a three-part act, and it's, by default, it's going to be dark, so.
We got to take them to know your enemy.
Vive le film dark.
Oui.
All right. Plowing ahead here, there's, finally, some heavy rumors that they've cast an actor to actually get in the Darth Vader costume for Rogue One. And you've seen him before. You may not recognize the guy or know his name, but he was in Guardians of the Galaxy, and he was that blue-skinned dude who was listening to Star-Lord's headphones.
Yeah.
So a gigantic mountain of a man. The guy's like 6'7 or something like that, which was exactly Dave Prowse's height. So it makes perfect casting sense that they'll stick this guy in that costume and give us the imposing, huge, intimidating presence of Darth Vader that we need. We need to see a violent Vader on screen. James?
I agree. And that number, I think, was probably really specific to them, 6'7". I bet you they weren't looking for a guy who was 6'6 or 6'8". I think they really wanted to probably get that, you know, that exact iconic number for the fans, and I'm not saying they would have passed over somebody specifically for that reason, but I'm sure they're glad that the heights match up exactly, because that idea of standing over people, you can't fake that
No.
when you shoot it.
No, early rumors were really hard on Hayden Christensen getting back in the costume. Which, okay, I mean, there's that authenticity to it. You bring him back an old character.
Yeah.
But he's still relatively scrawny compared to a Dave Prowse or this guy they've just cast.
Right, exactly.
And he's only 6'2", I think, Hayden Christensen, which is not short by any stretch. And we saw him in Revenge of the Sith. The guy has got a very athletic build, but he's not intimidating anybody.
No, I think, the mask itself does all of the face acting. I think that the body type was really important. So I think it's good news to have it cast so early, too. It doesn't keep the fans guessing forever and ever.
Yeah, and of course, nothing is official until it's official. They may not ever even announce this. I would imagine they'll keep Vader under wraps as long as they can. And he might be... I think the first time we'll see any kind of acknowledgement of Vader on an official level is in the next trailer. They'll probably... I imagine they'd cut to him at the very end of that trailer. You might see his face or hear the or
just
clearly
hear the breathing.
Hear.
I think that's all you're going to get is the breathing.
Or see the red lightsaber igniting or something like that. Something very very vague, but where you would know
breathing and red lightsaber. I'll go with that.
And then you would know for sure that Vader's back.
Yeah.
Sticking with Rogue One.
No, I got to chime in on this one.
Oh, stop the press.
Drew, I heard...
Get ready for a truth bomb, James. Hold on to your hat.
Yeah, I got my second win here.
Did you have a big Snickers bar and a Jolt Cola?
And no, the Jolt was all the truth you got from the Batman vs. Super segment from my end. Go ahead, Corey.
No, basically...
There's like a Batman kapow on the screen right now.
I read this guy's filmography, right? And he's done a lot of like acting, like we're talking about, basically performance acting. And there's a lot of subtlety to that. Like, he's done Doctor Who, he did Game of Thrones as well. I'm not sure what characters he's played. Either way, like you said, he's got the presence and the height and the demeanor to get this done. But like, you know, I was kind of into, like, film and acting and stuff in my younger days. And there's a big difference between acting on film and acting in a play. And I think to wear the mask and all that, you have to act as if almost you were in a play, you know? So I have a good feeling about this guy. And, I'm
pretty positive. Sorry, Carter, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think the three of us are pretty positive on it. And I think the reaction I've sort of read online, too... Everybody seems sort of keen on the idea of this guy doing it.
And I hope he's also in his 50s, too, I think, if I read correctly. He's like 53 or 54. I'd like to see Vader move a little quicker, you know what I mean? Like he did in the last episode we've seen him in, The Twilight of the Apprentice and Rebels. He kind of had some spry moves a bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not going to... There's a huge difference between what you can get away with in animation versus what you can do in live action. They have to match Vader on screen almost exactly what we've seen in New Hope. There's going to be no time change here. It's days or hours.
I like that saber fighting from him too, though, because he's so big and dominant that it's almost, if you think about it in a way, it's like cat and mouse. You know, he doesn't have to really stress himself too hard to know where you're going and defend himself.
Well, I think what you'll see from Vader is just like. Big power moves, big hard hacks and slashes, a lot of force usage. He doesn't have to be this speedy guy who has tons of moves. I'm sure we'll see a more dynamic Vader physically, but he's not going to be like Hayden Christensen just in a black suit.
No, there's no flipping. No flipping Vader.
Oh, God, no. That would be jumping the shark for Star Wars, a flipping Vader.
Yep.
Out of the question.
Yeah, no, there'd be
a riot in the theater, I think. There'd be a brawl. Star Wars fans would just start eating each other.
No, and people, I think there would be people who would think it's the coolest thing ever.
No! Who?
Yes. I guarantee there would be people who would, not anybody that I know.
To this podcast.
I don't know. Some people like Batman versus Superman.
Man, you can't let it go, can you? Hey, dude, 70% of moviegoers liked it.
Yeah, 28% of critics, but I don't usually pull that stat out because I don't care what critics think.
Yeah, I never really care what critics think, but 70% of fans or people that went to see the movie.
Like here and say, I could see how critics said it was a bad film, but I could see how fans liked it.
95% of people like Deadpool.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
I saw it. I told you we can't really talk about it too much this week, but get out there. That's a good one. That's a superhero movie done right for adults for sure.
Dude, I actually surprised my brother this week, James. I didn't tell him. I talked to his wife about it about a week ago. I said, really want to take him out, blah, blah, blah. Then the day of, I said, Kyle, you don't have to go home tonight. I'm picking, like, I'll meet you at the theater. We're going to go for dinner. Nice. Paid for dinner, paid for the movie. Nice. Did it again, Kyle. It was fun.
What do you need, Corey?
What's that?
What do you need? What are you setting him up for? My brother didn't take me out for dinner for nothing. He's like, James, don't blow my cover, man.
That was fun, man.
Oh, that's awesome. Where'd you guys go for dinner?
Oh, we hit Madison's. Madison's New York Bar and Grill.
I always like it there.
Not bad. Actually, it was the best calamari I've ever had.
Really, eh?
I think it's probably the tops, at least in recent memory, which makes me... This has been in my mind ever since, you guys, and... Do you think Akbar is delicious?
I love it. I love me some Akbar.
Like, do you think Admiral Akbar is delicious? Like, let's say you were in a tough spot with him, and he died, and you were hungry. You think you might be able? Like,
let me put it this way: if we were riding on a bus ride together, and we ran out of gas, I think that guy would have to run for his life. I would eat the hell out of some Akbar, man. I love seafood.
Yeah, I would think this guy, you know, you properly clean the guy, and you could probably get yourself a nice batch of fried calamari, right?
Why you gotta go that way? Why you gotta call him dirty? Now you gotta bring in, like, culture into it and stuff.
You gotta clean your seafood before you eat it.
I guess that's true.
Let's just say, if it was, like, alive, and we were all, you know, we all got stranded... I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that he'd be the first to go.
Gone.
But in the long run, I'd eat both of you if I had to. I'm just going to say that. Whatever it is, I don't blame those guys.
Do you think I could disconnect Corey without interrupting the recording of the show? That's messed up, dude.
That's messed up, man. That movie was horrible. I love that movie.
What movie are you talking about?
Alive.
Oh, right. Yeah, human sashimi is not my thing, but Akbar sashimi might be.
But he's
maybe he's a little tough, but you know, so maybe some of the baby moncals, maybe they taste a lot better.
Yeah, well, I just love squid in general, so.
If there's any leftovers, man, I'm on it.
He'd be the first to go, that's all I'm saying.
Absolutely, he'd be the first to go. But then again, you got to wonder, Jabba's Gamorrean guards, those pig dudes.
Interesting.
Oh, wow, yeah, barbecue?
The pulled pork Gamorrean guard?
I mean, like, you know what? What do you call it when you bury it under the fire for, like, a few days? And they do that in Hawaii, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, at their luau's.
Mishui. Yeah. In Quebec, it's a mishui, no?
Oh, we can mishui some, and serve it with poutine.
Oh, man. Oh, baby. So, yeah, Gamorrean guard versus Moncals. Which are tastier? I don't know. That's a very weighty question.
Not just weighty, but original. I'm sure it hasn't been asked before.
Well, I'm sure it has. I just don't know. I don't know how recent the question's been asked. I wonder if any other species would be, like, that extremely edible. I can't think of any, like, bovine-type creatures.
What about poultry?
I'm kind of saddened by this, actually, Kyle. Last week, we didn't really even give a shout-out to... you're going to know his name, not me, but... The actor who played Admiral Akbar recently passed away.
Yeah, I don't know his name. I think maybe it was Eric or something like that. But, yeah, hey, listen. Maybe
it was Eric or something like that.
Maybe something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, he passed away at like 93, 94 years old. That's a good run, man.
Yeah, I heard he did the voice acting for Jabba's like right hand man there. What's his name?
Bib Fortuna.
Yeah. Bib Fortuna. He said Jabba no Baga.
Yeah, he had a long successful career, a long life. Life well lived, man.
Yeah.
As Kevin Smith would say, a big bucket of win. So, anyway, maybe we can get some of the listeners who never seem to listen to us, guys. Come on now. Weigh in with your thoughts on who might be the tastiest species in the Star Wars galaxy. For my money, I've got the Ackbar people. But your mileage may vary. Sticking with Rogue One here, guys. Alexandre Desplat. I believe he's from France.
I think you're mispronouncing it, actually. According to the internet, it's Rouge One.
A huge typo there. Anyway, so this guy has been... It was never really confirmed that he was going to score Rogue One, but it was heavily rumored, and people generally accepted it as fact. And somebody approached him in the last week or so and asked him if he had started scoring yet. And he said no, he hadn't, but he'll begin work on that in the next few weeks. Which I'll take that as confirmation that Alexandre Desplat is the next guy to take over scoring duties for Star Wars. And fine by me, but this brings up two questions. One being, are we ready for a different sound to the Star Wars universe in Rogue One? And secondly, do you think that when the inevitable happens with John Williams, whether he retires or old age does him in, knock on wood, do you think they'll have a revolving door of composers, or do you think that they'll just find one guy, i.e. Alexandre Desplat, and stick with him for the next 25, 30 years?
Good question.
Yeah, I think I want to handle this one for a sec, man. Like, I read this guy's thing on IMDb, and I think he's perfect.
He's accomplished. He's accomplished. He's done a lot of stuff.
He's done a lot of good movies, like, and especially kind of the same genre, if you will, like Harry Potter, Twilight, all these kind of things, like classic kind of epic movies.
And John Williams did a Harry Potter. I've never seen any of the Harry Potters, but I believe John Williams did at least one of them, and probably the first one, if I could guess.
Really, eh?
I didn't know that. Are you sure that's a fact?
No, I don't know. I'll check now.
No, I don't know.
I'm just talking out of my ass.
Either way, what Kyle was touching upon is that I've been thinking about it a lot lately. Like, John Williams is definitely not getting any younger. And, you know, but looking at what we've been seeing in Rebels, a lot of it just flew over my head. I flow with it, you know, like, it's Star Wars, I'm watching it. And Kevin Kiner, behind the scenes, he's making it work. Like, it just seems, it's amazing. I give this guy an A++. Like, the work on the cellos, and in particular, the last episode, and Legends of the Lasat 2, was such a cinematographic. It was a masterpiece. Like, visually, it was spectacular, and the music, that's what the episode really was. The cellos, like, they just drew me in. And
yeah, no, Kevin Kiner's done some good work, although, unfortunately, he's taken a lot of flack from fandom about his work on Clone Wars and Rebels.
Well, I want to say one thing. I'll tell you one thing that does not work in Star Wars. I think it was the mystery of chopper bass.
It's the rock and roll music?
Yes. It's the first thing, the first time in a long time, I think the crew gets to finally say, hey, you know, let's take a minute for ourselves here. And one of the characters, Zeb, the Chewbacca-esque character, he's sitting behind a whole bunch of crates, and he's got a drink in his hand, and he's just relaxing, and he knows Ezra's going to have to do his thing shortly, and Ezra's talking to him, and the sun's setting, and they're watching.
Yeah, he's sitting there rocking out on his ghetto blaster, listening to straight-up rock and roll.
Yeah, it goes out to commercial with him turning up the music, and it's like, wah, wah, like some Star Wars solo, and I was like, yeah, no. Didn't work.
So I've got the results here, guys. The science is in. John Williams did 3 Harry Potter movies.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
So it seems like John Williams and Alexandre Desplat probably speak the same language musically. I'll be honest, I don't know his music, Desplat, and
I definitely gave it. But like, did you see the amount of nominations that he had? I think it was like 7 BAFTA nominations, 2 wins, 7 Goldens, 1 win, 6 Grammys, 2 wins. That's incredible. Hey. I never even heard of
it. I wonder how much, like, I wonder if it depends on who they hire to direct movies. I wonder if at some point they hire a director big enough who says, this is who I want scoring the movie. Or if the studio will always, you know, say, you know, score, you know, it's not in your realm of decision and contract it out every movie. I don't know who makes that decision.
I'm sure it varies.
I think in a project,
in this case,
like we deserve one, like a John Williams, someone just needs to take up the reins and divvy out the
whoever the next person is. Let's say it's Desplat here. He's going to be excessively busy then with scoring. That's going to be his job, basically, to score Star Wars movies. There'll be precious little other time for him to do anything else. And I think as artists go, they want to explore other things. So if he's going to do all the spinoffs and all the episodic things, he's a locked and loaded Star Wars guy.
No, I don't see that being like what many artists would want. I agree. I could see maybe it going by trilogy, and maybe he gets more than one. But yeah, I don't think that necessarily means he does every spinoff and every, you know, all the future movies.
Yeah, I would prefer the spinoffs be done on their own, and the saga to have one particular composer.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with that. Because the spinoffs are possibly going to have each wildly different tones to them, so you might want to have a Hans Zimmer type guy, and then maybe Howard Shore does one at some point.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Or you just take the Lord of the Rings soundtrack and just remix that, right?
Have you heard about The Force Awakens, The Dark Side of the Moon?
I have. I haven't done it, but I heard about it.
I heard about it too, and I'm really intrigued, but I highly doubt it.
Well, I feel like this has happened many times before, where somebody has said that if you sync up this movie with this Pink Floyd song, it works perfectly.
Well, it's supposed to be with Wizard of Oz, and to be honest, I did it once, and yeah, it kind of worked, man.
Do we really think somebody sits there breaks down these albums and then tries to arrange their movie so it syncs up with it somehow?
Maybe Pink Floyd, but not Star Wars.
But they did this, like Dark Side of the Moon is how old? 30, 40 years old now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think people are seeing what they like to see. I haven't tried it, so I don't know.
I would never try it. I think it's all hoopla. I think it's clickbait, to be honest, but
what's that? There's no clickbait in Star Wars fandom.
Not on the Public Saber blog, anyhow.
Actually, I don't blog anymore. I haven't written anything original in a long time, dude.
Pretty busy guy.
Hey, these podcasts, they're a lot more work than I thought they would be. Although I would definitely endorse anybody who's ever even thought or considered doing a podcast on whatever subject to absolutely do it. If we can do it, anybody can do it, trust me. Let's plow ahead here, guys. I think we're all comfortable with Desplat here as the next guy, at least for now.
I'm very happy.
Until he ruins something, we're good with it. Everybody thinks he's going to do a good job, so let's, you know, why not hope?
Yeah, it's benefit of the doubt, right?
Yeah.
At this point, kind of like for me, Marvel movies, where the last couple, I haven't seen Ant-Man, but I will. Absolutely, I will see it. But he's not a character I give two shits about, honestly.
Completely.
But because Marvel has done so good, has done so well, they get the benefit of the doubt, and I'm sure it's probably a really good movie.
And I like Paul Rudd, too.
Yeah, I love the guy.
You can't really hate Paul Rudd. Is there anybody that doesn't like Paul Rudd?
There probably is, but I agree. He is a pretty universally likable kind of guy. He plays likable guys in most movies, too.
like, I think for probably for the three of us, the first time we saw him was on Friends.
Yeah, it was. Mike.
Yeah, Phoebe's boyfriend, I think.
Yep.
And, like, it was instant. Like, this guy's so likable. And right through all the movies he's done, he's likable in every single one of them.
Favorite role for Paul Rudd for me is Kunu, a.k.a. Chuck, the surf instructor from... shoot. I remember that, but I forgot the name.
I know what you're talking about.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Sarah Marshall.
Yes. That movie is phenomenal.
It is a great movie, and his role in that movie is hilarious.
Oh, he's hilarious. Yeah, my idiot brother, he was pretty funny.
Is that a movie, or are you just talking to Corey?
Oh, geez, dude. I'd give a weak grace but after he just treated me to a dinner and a movie here before I call him an idiot.
That's true. Yeah, you owe him more than a week, dude. Dinner and a movie, that's a month's grace, I'd say.
Okay, fair enough.
And the surprise factor, too. It was like, boom, I dropped the bomb. Fuck.
That's a big brother win, I got to say, Corey. Big props on that one.
Yeah, it was a good shit.
I'll consider it payback for letting you live with me for, and Tony, for how long?
Don't worry, there's more to come, man. We're going to go see Deadpool 2 soon.
Oh, nice.
You got to plant the seed in your wife's head now. I'll talk to her again, but...
Hey, if anybody wants to grease the skids for me to get out of the house... You got to talk to the lady first.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way I played it. I knew it. I was like, gotta beat around the bush here. Let's go talk to her first.
I think we're making her sound like an evil beast here.
No. Your wife's the sweetest sweetheart, man.
No, she doesn't listen, remember?
She's the best cook, too.
That's true. That's definitely
is your great. Is your lady a great cook? My lady is also a great cook, and I'm saying that knowing she doesn't listen.
Yeah, no. Candace, my wife Candace is a great cook.
That's nice. That's a score. I love food.
Oh, man.
And you scored hard.
It's hard during the week to do something super spectacular, especially when you have fussy kids that you got to feed to.
It's impossible, yeah.
But when she decides to throw down, when you see the pasta maker come out, you know the game is on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like a whole day spent making noodles. That's a good day for me. So now, some rather sad news, at least for the three of us, I think. A few weeks ago, we sort of broke down the race towards the new Han Solo lead. And the rumor is that our least favorite guy, based on nothing other than appearance, because none of us know him, Alden Ehrenreich, is apparently the front runner. And I'm not too thrilled.
I'm not thrilled either.
Gotta say.
He doesn't look like him.
At all.
That's a problem for me.
It's a huge problem for me. And I don't think any of them are a Harrison Ford doppelganger by any stretch. But at least there's some similarities, right? This guy looks like he's older than Harrison Ford in some pictures.
It's
I didn't like it either. I thought very... hopefully it's just out there. Just one of those rumors. Maybe it's just a test on Disney's part. That's the way I always see it. You know, the conspiracy-driven, like, maybe they're just throwing out a tester out there.
Maybe well, it wouldn't be the first time a company floats out a rumor to see how it's received, and if it's completely crapped on, they go another direction. That's not outlandish.
And even if he was, at this point, I don't think anything's confirmed. By the way, it's so far out, but, you know, the way we're talking about it and the way I've seen it received on the internet, sorry to say, I'm sure the guy has a promising career, but I don't think he's going to get the role. And I hope not.
He's a terrific actor, but this role requires some resemblance to the original for me.
Agreed. Big time.
Yeah. We all said that we'd be taken right out of the movie by somebody who didn't look the role.
He's younger, whatever. He changed a lot.
Yeah.
And like even if he was a rip-rockin' actor who just could act the hell out of the role and be Han Solo, it's still going to feel weird to me. I think to some degree it'll feel weird no matter who they cast, but I think they do themselves a huge favor by at least casting somebody who looks like they maybe could have been Harrison Ford at some point 10 years before we met him, you know?
I really think they should be going for... I know they've narrowed their list down, but I think they should be going for like an unknown...
I hope someone just nails the shit out of their casting call. Just study these mannerisms, the tonality, all that stuff, and just nail it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we saw the Daisy Ridley screen test, right? On some of the extras in The Force Awakens.
That was beautiful.
Man, she crushed that.
Yeah, you got to go out there when you're an actor. You just really got to put yourself out there on a limb.
Like, especially when you know you're reading for Star Wars. Like, you got to pull out every trick in your book. And she had the trick where she could even turn on the waterworks.
Yeah,
I think that probably sealed the deal, right?
Well, it's not even a trick, you know. When you're really feeling that passionate in the moment, you're believing what you're reading. You know what I mean? You get yourself invested that far. You're feeling it. You're not just acting, you know? And that's a fine line to walk between actors. Even Anna Maria was saying that when you interviewed her, she said something along the lines of, you know, when you're an actor, like, the guys even told her, like, do something special that makes you stand apart from everyone else. And she said she went out and took the biggest gun.
And then she gave it back because it was too awkward for her.
Yeah, the guy said, no, this is your gun. This is, like, a nice... This is more your style, you know? It fits more your character. But she wanted to stand out, you know?
Yeah. Which you come to learn when you do interviews like that. And even for people that have background roles, that there's so much that goes even into the prep of their own part. Like, there's just so much depth to every layer of the movie. And I think that probably applies to almost any movie, really. Not just Star Wars.
Especially good movies, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, where things are done thoroughly, right?
You guys ever seen How I Met Your Mother? Barney Stinson.
No. What's that?
Anyhow, he has this. He has a and his interview is done via. He has a DVD, and it's him like riding rockets and like.
his video CV.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, hey, we're racing along here, guys. But we've got a few more things I want to touch on before we go and tuck ourselves in here for Sunday night. Do you guys follow James? You're not on Twitter, but you saw the story about Peter Mayhew. He was tweeting out periodically pages from his original script from A New Hope.
Yeah, I saw.
And he had said that at the end of this, you know. Twitter event that he was doing, where he was tweeting out those pages, there'd be something really cool at the end of it. And we got that this week, where he revealed the pages of the scene where Obi-Wan Kenobi in the movie dies. And the gist of what he got to is that sequence originally was completely different, where Obi-Wan doesn't die at the hands of Darth Vader, or he doesn't give himself up so that the others could escape. Instead, Luke, Han, Leia, Chewie, they do enough shooting marksmanship to get, I guess, separate Vader from Obi-Wan and get him onto the Falcon, and he survives that encounter, and they all get away, which, man, that really would have changed how the whole trilogy played out.
It really would have. It would have certainly most of all changed the Obi-Wan character's character and story arc. He, you know, laying himself down like that made him, you know, the ultimate martyr and good guy, and, you know, putting his cause before his personal, you know, his own body, and, you know, all of that. So it would have changed his story arc so much.
Yeah, but you're putting the future of the Force in Luke completely at that point, and saying I need to do this so that he can survive. Yeah, it would have eliminated really the need to have Yoda introduced.
Yep.
Because they wouldn't have had to go down the road of introducing Force ghosts. Which, try taking Force ghosts. Try picturing Star Wars without Force ghosts, right? Kind of weird. It would have changed the movie so much. And apparently that change was made on set, where George Lucas's wife at the time felt that it would have been more powerful to have Obi-Wan sacrifice himself for the greater good, to which Alec Guinness vehemently disagreed with, but like a wise man, George Lucas listened to his wife. And the rest is history, but I thought that was pretty cool, that originally Obi-Wan was supposed to survive.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely, it would have taken the film, like you guys both said, in a whole different, the whole saga and just what could have been. There should almost be a spin-off of What If.
Well, we remember those comics from the 80s, the Marvel What Ifs, right?
I loved it.
Yeah, they did one back in the day where Leia turned to the dark side.
Really, eh?
I think they've done one like that. I don't know if Marvel did it or not, but somebody at some point did it. A comic where Rey had gone to the Leia had gone to the dark side.
Isn't that in the old, wasn't that a novel, though? Where Luke has to go and bring her back, or she goes to try and bring Luke back, or one or the other, from, I guess, the Legends series?
I've purged almost all memory of the Legends books from my brain.
I'm pretty sure that was the case.
That's a lot of purging. Like, I've wiped a chunk of my memory out, because I spent a lot of time, there's a lot of books there that I read that
I don't
recall at all.
The first thing that threw me a little off guard about this whole Peter Mayhew being able to tweet this stuff on Twitter is, I mean, I'm thinking he must have had, like, Disney must have been like, yeah, Peter, you're the man that's going to be able to, you know, just throw this tidbit out there. Like there must have been some kind of disclaimer involved. Why hasn't someone done it prior? Like, he must have gotten permission from someone to be able to do this, and why choose him?
I don't know. I don't know if you'd had permission to do this.
But why now?
Well, first of all, Disney doesn't have any rights over A New Hope, which is kind of a strange thing. Fox still owns the rights to A New Hope, even though Disney bought all of Lucasfilm, Fox owns A New Hope, which is kind of why we can never or may never see the original cut of A New Hope.
Wow.
It's not Disney, you have to ask for that. It's Fox. Little known fact.
What about the box set? What does that mean for a box set then?
Oh, you would get, you know, the version that we have now. Any changes or any new releases to A New Hope would have to come via Fox.
Do you guys? I want to ask you this quick. You guys still own a VHS?
I have one in storage somewhere. Yes.
Mine is used as a. I set my TV on it, so because my center channel in my home theater is a big beefy thing, and if I don't prop up the TV a little higher, the center channel cuts out a bit of the screen. So my VCR is a TV stand, but yeah, it still functions. It still works. It works just fine.
I got you an original set of the series. Remember, with the original boxes and everything.
Yeah, I did a count the other day. I have like four different versions or five different versions of the original trilogy on VHS.
That's amazing.
It's a little much, but it is cool for posterity, I guess, to have all those different versions. There's a cool piece on StarWars.com about all the different versions that exist, and there are so many.
I'd say the original is music, especially, really. Because that's one thing, when they change the music all that much, too, like not only the visuals, but I was like, no, man. Give me the old school beats.
Well, it's still the same old music. I don't know if they've scored new music for the... I think they did score some stuff for 97, but...
They did. They changed up the music a lot in 97 in all the films.
Really?
Yeah, big time. Like, Saturn...
Oh, I know what you... Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Like when they switched out...
The end of Battle of Endor and...
Yeah. I know what you mean, but...
Cloud City, too.
No, yeah, you're... Cloud City, I don't know if that changed very much.
Jabba's Palace got changed. Was a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's kind of an annoying one. Got a question. Actually, this question came in a couple weeks ago, and I failed to log it, so it sort of slipped through the cracks. But
stop
I found
that
it.
With all the questions we get to keep track.
Oh, I know. It's I can't keep up. But here's one from Stubaka on Twitter. He's been a good friend of the show, although I failed to read his question. But he's got a good one here. Do we think that Rebels will run past season 3? And if not, maybe a new animated series set sometime after Return of the Jedi. James, do you have any? I know you haven't seen Rebels, so let's let's see where you, coming from a position of no knowledge. Take a stab at this one.
Excuse me, I'm going to say no, it's not going to run more than 3 seasons. Just because that's what my informed friend Kyle told me once. And
you mean that's what your friend Kyle speculated?
Speculated. Well, he's pretty in the know. I wouldn't put it past him to be right about that. But no, like you said, I can't really make any kind of informed guess because I don't know enough about it at all to forecast it. You know.
Well, let's see what Corey thinks.
You know,
I think I know what he's going to say.
In my heart of hearts, I want a 4th season, but you too, you've kind of tainted me with your rumor of it ending, and it's true, it's fact, it's from the Star Wars world, but, I mean, I could see it wrapping up this season, and it'd be a nice story arc, you know, short and sweet, 3 seasons, nice little story, but the thing is, I just don't see where they're going to take the animated universe after, that's my problem. I'd like to see a 4th season 2 because I'm just in love with the show, but I really don't see where they're going to take this animated universe after this show, which is kind of like where I'm like...
Well, that's totally up in the air.
Exactly. Like, I can't see where they're going to take it. Like, where? Where would make sense for them to drop some new tidbit, either that's informative to the new saga, or... I really believe they'll take us out of the saga a bit, to be honest. And that's fine, too. But I really just don't see where they can go from here.
Well, I think it's been, I mean, maybe the rumor's been
Rebels,
dumped on.
Maybe the end of Rebels will entail a new series, you know? Who knows?
Maybe, but the rumor's been kind of dumped on from more official voices that this is not true. Like, where is this coming from? Freddie Prinze Jr. has sort of crapped on that rumor. I still tend to think that this movie or this series will dovetail with Rogue One. I think it all kind of ends there for these Splinter Cell type groups. So I think in my heart of hearts that season 3 will be the last one for Rebels. And I got to imagine that Disney really wants to start cashing in more than they have on the post-Return of the Jedi era. Fans really want those 32 years covered, blanketed, wall-to-wall, up, right up until The Force Awakens opens. And we're getting some of that now in novels. But 32 years is a lot to cover. And I think they could easily find a niche in there somewhere in those 32 years and angle in on a story, whether it's a new group of characters or people that we already know, and set up an animated story there.
I just want to
feel weird.
I want to see Wedge Antilles again. That's who I want to see.
Well, you have to read the Aftermath, part 1. He's there.
Nice.
He's actually the...
Big guy?
Well, he's one of the guys.
Nice.
In that book. So if you want Wedge, you've got to pick up the first book of the Aftermath series.
That's what kind of sucks. In the Expanded Universe, I think I read about 6 books Expanded Universe on Rogue Squadron, which were so cool. So cool.
Sorry, purged.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. So that's my thought. I think season 3 is the final one, which I would rather 3 really strong seasons than a longer run of lesser quality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to drag this out for too long. So
yeah, definitely quality over quantity, definitely.
And so in that respect, I would think that season 3 would be just straight up, meat on the bone type stuff all the way through. Now, again, I don't like to use the word filler episodes, but I would hope that there'd be fewer of the types of Mystery of Chopper Base and Droids in Distress types of shows where, you don't really push the immediate plot forward. I appreciate the world building that those episodes do. But I'd rather focus on the characters and see those characters developed and have their stories wrapped up properly.
Yeah, I agree. Although, I loved the one with Chopper. Not Chopper Base. Chopper Base was pretty much the worst Rebels episode I think I've ever seen. Even though it was still It's never unpleasant to watch, but definitely my least favorite of both seasons, I think. And definitely the worst lead-in to the last episode. But I really like the Forgotten Droid. I really like that episode.
Yeah, that was a good episode. We've kind of come to the end of the line, but before we go on, we're starting a new segment. Right here and now. And it's going to be the Star Wars Would You Rather. And so I've cooked up a question for you guys. And
Ray.
Finn.
Okay. All right.
Go for it.
Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to present you with a question. And then next week, we'll figure it out. But one of you guys is going to have to come up with a Would You Rather.
Okay, cool. I like it.
So this week, the first question. Would you guys rather have a fully functioning Millennium Falcon that you wouldn't have to worry about it breaking down or having to refuel it? Because I wouldn't want you to take this and then have it be an invoice for the rest of your life to have to keep paying to fix this thing. So it works. It just works. You could have that, and it could take you wherever you want it to go. Or would you rather a functioning, real-deal lightsaber?
Oh.
Think how cool that would be. Just you're the dude that walks around with a real lightsaber on your hip.
I'm the dude who walks around with all kinds of scars in one hand.
It goes off by accident, chops off your leg. So maybe you wheel around in a wheelchair with a lightsaber dangling from the side.
Oh, that's a good choice. That's tough.
It's tough, right? Because, I mean, to have the Falcon.
And how can you even go anywhere on the Falcon without a lightsaber? I mean, really, you need it. To leave the planet, because who knows what you're going to run into?
No. We're not writing loopholes here. You got one or the other.
No, I know, but it's a conundrum.
Yeah, I'm all over the place on that. My mind's like, I'm reading an error right now.
Like, who would mess with you?
I'm ready.
Like,
I can answer. Since I'm not a Jedi, I have to take the Falcon. And since I don't know any Jedi to train me, if I thought maybe I could become a Jedi, if he threw Jediism into the equation, I might change my answer, but I'm going to take the Falcon just because I could be a smuggler. That's well within my skill set already.
And it's fast. I mean, you could look at your wife and go, hey, sweetheart, you know what? If we had a rough week, let's hop on the Falcon and go to Bali for the weekend.
Chez Patty for some French food.
Well, we'll have to get you to talk to some NHL free agents and sell them on the virtues of Chez Perret.
No, I'm going to go ahead and say that, you know, even though I love the Falcon's my favorite ship of all time, I believe. And
you said that about the Ghost.
Well, they're tied. You know, they're very similar.
All right.
The X-Wing, I'm not the... I'm just kidding. My favorite. But, yeah. I don't know. It's like, I feel like, well, the X-Wing, or the Millennium Falcon, it's its own character onto itself. But I think part of its character is the fact that it breaks down all the time. And it comes through in the clutch, always. Last minute, like, slam your head, Marty McFly style, onto the steering wheel. She's gonna come through, you know?
The Empire Strikes Back disagrees with you.
Yeah, she still came through in the long run. She still came through.
R2 came through.
Yeah, but they left in the Falcon. The Falcon still made it through.
It had to be dragged along kicking and screaming to work. I guess, yeah, I love the Falcon. It is my favorite ship, but...
But, yes. Either way, seeing as how I'm a Jedi, I'm going to go with the Saber.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? Because if you walk... Imagine, you're walking down the street with a lightsaber on your hip. Who's going to mess with you?
Well, not only that, the Kyber crystal itself, that thing must be... It's untold fortune right there, which is not the way to look at it from a Jedi standpoint, but, you know.
Well, you wouldn't take this unique one once. It's the only one on planet Earth. There are no others. So you can't have any lightsaber duels. Which sucks.
If you knew how to use it properly and you were a Jedi, yeah, definitely. If I was a Jedi, that'll...
No, you're you. That's it, you're you. You just have a functioning lightsaber. You could use it to start fires, cut people's heads off. It still works for that purpose.
No, I'd just become a Jedi, that's all.
Oh, that's simple. Okay.
For sure.
And Kyle, you can't just pose the question and not make a choice. You've had the most time of all to think about it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I found the more I thought about it, the harder it got. But ultimately, I think I'd rather the Falcon. I think it's a more versatile thing. And like I said, the happy wife, happy life thing, man. How many points would you score to just say, we're going to fly to Australia for a few days here. And you just, it's the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy. You could be in Australia in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, but she'd be embarrassed when you pulled it up to park it out front. You'd have to drop her off.
Nobody. Who would be embarrassed to show up in the Falcon?
Ladies are crazy, man.
Well, that's why there's escape pods, right?
Dude, it's the biggest hunk of junk in the galaxy, supposedly, no?
That's right.
You shove your wife into an escape pod, and you just press eject over the Pacific. Goodbye if you don't appreciate the ride. See ya. Right?
The Falcon is really, what I see it as always being, what I really see its ultimate end goal to be, is it's like a sleeper, you know? Shitty on the outside, just fucking kick-ass on the inside. Like, it's got everything in it, you know? It's like the Rebels and the Alliance.
Oh, it's terrible inside. Come on, let's be honest here.
That's the way I always ended up seeing it, you know, like it really getting souped up from, like it runs perfectly. Like someone looks at it and says, that's a crapper, you know, and then you just say, yeah, check this out. Boom. Space dust.
Yeah, for the lightsaber to like, you know, you could like dominate your neighborhood and stuff. You also got like pretty serious weaponry on the Millennium Falcon. Someone messes with you, you just like take out their whole house.
Yeah, exactly right. So that's yours too. Laser cannons are yours. Well, there's a couple of missiles in there. Those are yours.
If you're looking at it from that perspective, then yeah, I'd way much rather have the Millennium Falcon.
Well, no.
I wasn't looking at it from Earth's perspective. Like, if I can travel to hyperspace and go see other planets and galaxies, I'd definitely let go of the lightsaber. But I was thinking.
Yep, don't forget, you're you. You don't know what's out there. Neither does the Falcon. So if you press go there, you don't know what's there, and you don't know if you're coming back. So I don't know how far out I'd go.
Yeah, bit by bit.
I'd definitely go to the moon. I'm fairly confident I could.
Yeah, then fly you go to Mars, then you go back somewhere else, and then you know, bit by bit, man.
The moon, you get up there, you find out all the Marvel characters are having a duel up there because that's where they always fight. You need to be careful up there, Kyle.
I'd bring you guys as my gunners.
Corey's got a lightsaber, so you're good.
Yeah.
Just open the door. I don't have any like astronaut suit, though, so watch out for the decompression.
You guys want to hear something crazy? I looked at this like about a week ago. Like I wanted to see how fast the speed of light actually was because of our last conversation. And you know how long at the speed of light it would take for you to reach the moon?
Seconds?
Yes. Just give me a number. No Googling shit.
I'm going to guess, I don't know, like 5 seconds.
What do you say?
If that.
1.5 seconds.
30.
What?
I'm calling BS. Google it.
30 to the moon, 3 minutes, 30 seconds to Mars, 8 minutes to the sun.
Well, from that's
the sun. Cool. Dude, how does that blow you away? Like, when you see superheroes, like, oh, I'm going to ram you into the moon now. Like, they're traveling pretty goddamn quick.
Because it takes a couple days for astronauts to get there, and they're not even, they're like a fraction, not even a fraction of
they're traveling like 1,000 miles an hour.
Well, technically, it is a fraction of light speed, but
a very, very insignificant.
And they do go
fraction.
Very fast.
They're not traveling slow, man. Once they break orbit,
yeah, they slingshot and stuff. That's really interesting. Well, you want to hear a cool fact about the speed of dark? It's much faster than the speed of light.
Like
that's recent, right?
Well. It's like if you had a bright enough light and you could shine it on the moon, and then you put your hand in front of the light, you create a shadow. You could move your hand across a couple of inches in front of the flashlight would be thousands of miles on the moon, and you could move the dark. Yeah. Shadow could move faster than the speed of light.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Googling this here now, so I There's definitely a conflict of information here, Corey.
Really?
I asked Google, how long would it take to get to the moon at the speed of light? And it says approximately 1.26 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, 3 minutes, no, there's no way.
Oh, 30 seconds to Mars, 30 seconds to the moon. That's what
30 seconds to the Mars, yeah. Nope. 1.26 seconds.
Okay, Google how much, it's 8 minutes from the sun. I'm sure.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. 8 minutes and 20 seconds.
No way.
Yep, light speed here to the sun, eight minutes and change.
And how long from the moon?
One and a quarter seconds.
I was pretty close then.
You were very close. You were a quarter second off.
I am a Stephen.
I'm so upset now. This fucking sucks. I read this shit, man. I'm telling you. And it blew my mind.
In Mad Magazine?
No, it was on the internet.
I read it on the internet, which is what I'm doing right now. And this is coming from Wikipedia. There is no more bastion of truth, no better bastion of truth than Wikipedia. We know this. This is science.
That makes more sense to me anyhow, but either way.
I mean, the moon is so close to Earth in cosmic terms.
That's incredible. You just blew my mind.
I mean, you'd barely make the jump to hyperspace, and then you'd have to, like, pull the chute. Like, you probably don't even have enough time to get there and in and out of hyperspace before you crashed.
It's too much for 1 week. Who are Ray's parents? I'm so confused.
Okay, but from the sun to Pluto would take 5 hours and 40 minutes, and across our galaxy would take 100,000 years at the speed of light. The Milky Way galaxy, tip to tip.
We need wormholes. Wow. Let's go, Hawking. Get on that shit.
We need some wormholes. So did I answer the question?
You did. You said
I want the Falcon.
Yeah, I would take the Falcon. Look, you think of it in terms of if you lose your job and you lose your house,
so you're
talking
about
on the Falcon,
Earth, right? Only on Earth. If we were talking about in the Star Wars universe, I'd choose Saber. If we were talking about on Earth, I would have the Falcon.
Well, considering we live on Earth and not some fictitious universe that takes place long, long time ago.
Well, your question's fictitious itself. It's not like there's a Falcon or a Saber out there.
It's a perfectly valid question.
Okay. Can my question next week be more valid than what's your favorite potato and the way it's cooked?
That was, hey, we got replies to that. That was legitimate. That was legit. People have opinions about how to cook a potato. And it's still the roast. I don't care what people say.
Oh, the unanimous answer, I think, was raw. That's, I think, what I heard.
Well, no, it's not raw. You can't, you couldn't do that. I think after you'd have like half a potato, your jaw would be completely exhausted.
That'd be gross.
Man, this has gone rambly. Holy shit. Talk about going sideways.
That was a good movie. It was about wine.
yep. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we punch out, get into our skate pods and get out of here?
Yeah, I think we should decide first and foremost who's going to choose next week's question, or do we both have one?
I would say just cook up a list. You know, so whenever you're called upon. You have something on speed dial that you can just whip out and go with.
Does it have to be Star Wars related?
It's very loose. Just use your imagination.
Yeah, I
guess. It's got to be a very direct question. You can't spend 2 minutes setting up context here. It's just, would you rather this or that?
Yeah.
Or some in that vein. It doesn't have to be, would you rather this or that? You could just invent some bullshit, okay?
Ninja versus pirate, who wins? I got it.
We're all good here?
All good, brother.
Awesome, guys. So I think that'll do it for episode 20, guys. 20 episodes in the can. How about that shit? I don't know if I expected to get this far. What's that?
How does that read Roman numerically?
XX.
I'm sorry.
XX. It's just
fucking right, boys.
We're gonna have a real raunchy episode 30. If we get there, that is. Yeah, that's it. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. Corey, James, thanks for coming in, boys.
Hey, no problem. I'm going to go have a Dos Equis.
That's not the most interesting man in the world, is it? Yes, it is. Hey, there was... last thing before we go. I don't know if this is BS or not. I tend to believe it's legit. Otherwise, it's a real stretch. But somebody tweeted out a picture of Shatner today on the original set of Star Trek. And there's a red shirt ensign that Shatner walks by. That red shirt was the Dos Equis guy in the 60s.
Well, yeah, he doesn't always play on TV, but when he does, it's in classic TV series.
As a red shirt ensign.
I didn't see that. That's cool.
I gotta try and look for that, and I'll send it your way.
It was him. I'm already convinced.
Well, there you have it. I haven't cut together the show yet, but I want to take a minute again to thank the OVMF for stepping up to offer us those free tickets. So again, head over to iTunes, leave us a review, and send that review, the copy of the text, to Kyle@tumblingsaber.com, and we will. At random, draw the winner on the May 30th episode. Very simple contest, and I'm telling you guys, you're going to love hearing Star Wars music live for sure. And thanks to Carlos Candido, good buddy of the show, who recently had me on his podcast for a couple episodes. Check him out on the Thinking Out Loud podcast. That comes out basically whenever the hell he wants. Usually it's three times a week. And check him out on Twitter. What is his Twitter handle now? It's C Candido Music, and the music we'll hear going out tonight is from his latest EP. The song is called Waiting, and I'm totally blown away. I've known this guy for a while, but I've been embarrassingly clueless to his music. So we'll hear that on the way out. And thanks again, everybody, for listening. And like I said, please check us out on Twitter, on Facebook. And leave us those reviews. Get your names in for that contest. And you got a couple months to do that. And until next week, enjoy yourselves, enjoy the weather wherever you are, and we'll talk soon. Bye for now.
Just a dream. Just